Attention! Do you owe back taxes, fines, and penalties to the IRS? The IRS now offers new relief options for taxpayers affected by COVID-19, but you can't go it alone. Call Tax Solutions now. Our team of former IRS agents and tax professionals can get you the best deal. We know the COVID-19 rules. Call us and never speak to the IRS again.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions now and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions now and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
The virus has caused the IRS to take extensive action to help taxpayers. So if you owe $10,000 or more, this is the best time in years to settle your tax debt.
I qualified for the Fresh Start program. I paid less than I owed.
Remember, the IRS will not give up until you pay. Call 800-683-9499. 800-683-9499. 800-683-9499.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Our 27th year bringing you the latest in consumer tech. Thank you for tuning in to Tomorrow. This for the weekend of Friday, August 5th. 2022. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
Don't forget to back up all your important data, including off-site. So use a cloud or use grandma's cupboard. Stick a USB drive with all your important stuff so you have something in case of catastrophe.
Well, you do what I do. You back up your home computer and keep it at work. Back up your work computer and keep it at home.
That's too complicated. That hurts my brain to think about.
Well, I mean, that doesn't work for someone with their office in their home, though.
Yeah, that's true. So that's difficult. And Don't just put it in another room, because if we're talking catastrophe, you know, I don't want to have to spell it out, but God forbid. Yeah?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, James is coming up shortly. Didn't tell us where he's participating from, and you'll know why when you hear his question, because he's trying to access the internet and the Wi-Fi from the church next door. But he doesn't know the password, so he wants to know how can he do that.
I wonder if James is his real name.
That could also be an issue. So stay tuned, and we'll address that. As long as there's no lightning thunderstorms here in South Florida on the horizon.
Right.
And we'll proceed. Meantime, some tech news and commentary for you. Verizon will start selling Microsoft Xbox gaming bundles and discounted accessories at some stores to promote the benefits of its 5G broadband services and to collect incremental revenues, of course. The carrier said the all-access bundle will include entry to the Xbox online library and a game system. So Verizon trying to buy your business one way or another.
Samsung is introducing an interesting new feature for people sending in their Galaxy phones for repair. Repair mode.
Repair mode?
Yeah. Well, and you'll learn about what this is. You know, when shipping off your phone, you might want to do something to protect your data. And the new feature sounds like a great solution. It locks down your data, but not your phone. So you could just, you could just wipe your phone, but that's, of course, a big hassle.
Yeah.
You don't want to just send in a completely locked down device, as technicians can't thoroughly test it if they're locked out of everything. So when in repair mode, quote, you won't be able to access your personal data, such as photos, messages, and accounts. And anyone with the phone will only see the default installed apps with blank data. Repair mode can be exited easily, though. You'll need to authenticate with a pattern PIN or fingerprint.
Okay, so that's something then you would set before you send
away? If it's the kind of repair that you have to send the phone in, you put it into repair mode so that nobody can access your data until it's out of repair
mode. Okay, but back up a little. What if you're having to send the phone in because you can't access anything? How are you going to access repair mode?
I don't know. Now you're asking me questions that make my brain hurt.
Well, you brought the story up. You should have the answer.
I don't know. That's why you should just get an iPhone.
No. Does iPhone have repair mode?
I don't know. I've never had to have my iPhone repaired.
Then you
because I've just had to have them replaced.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's certainly an issue to be to be dealt with, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's a valid question. It's like, oh, great, I'm going to send it away. Let me go into repair mode. Oh, it won't power up, or I can't get in, or whatever reason you're sending it in for repair. So maybe it'll work for some time, some issues.
Maybe.
Not everything.
Yeah.
All right. It's not a panacea. If you like shopping at Wally World, pay attention, Chris.
Don't like that.
But you go sometimes.
It's because, you know, I have to. I can't afford Target anymore.
Yeah, there you go. Walmart has unveiled a program called Walmart Restored. That will have refurbished electronics and appliances from brands including Samsung, Apple, and KitchenAid, among others, available in select stores and online starting this fall. According to Walmart, consumers are increasingly looking to refurbished goods to save money this year, which will offer a 90-day return window for all the products. So that part's good. If you're buying a refurbished product, you'd have no idea who owned it, what they did to it, how bad it was abused, whatever. Hopefully they've actually refurbished it. Maybe they just wipe it down with a Clorox wipe. I don't know. But you got 90 days to return it. So if it doesn't do the job that you're looking for, even though you saved money, bring it back to Wally World. Of course, you'll wait in that line of 80 people. Mm-hmm. But good luck.
A California judge is allowing a lawsuit against Visa to proceed, saying the company plausibly knew that porn site operator MindGeek was monetizing sexual videos involving children.
Ooh.
The judge rejected Visa's attempts to dismiss its portion of the suit, saying that Visa plausibly, quote, intended to help MindGeek monetize child porn.
Not cool.
Because it continued to offer payment processing services to the site Pornhub, despite knowing that the site had failed to moderate videos of minors.
Well, how do they know? How does they know that Visa knew this? I mean, I'm not trying to defend them, but...
I don't know, but they're saying that because Pornhub knew that they had videos of minors on there, and Visa still allowed them to process their payments through them. They're being held
so
liable.
So shame on Pornhub as well.
Yeah. The claim stems from a sexually explicit video that was filmed and put on Pornhub featuring the plaintiff, who was a young teenager at the time.
Wow.
Despite being notified that the video was illegal, Pornhub apparently delayed taking it down for weeks, allowing it to be repeatedly downloaded and re-uploaded and earning a lot of ad revenue alongside it.
Wow. So shame on Pornhub, I think, first.
Yeah.
Well, the people who did it first, and Pornhub, and now then Visa as well.
Yeah.
But I still don't see how Visa knew it and let it keep happening. As far as they were concerned, it's a porn site, and they make money, there's more money, whatever.
Yeah. Well, but we'll have to see how this lawsuit turns out.
Yeah. In a case of corporate speed dating... I thought that was clever, and you'll find out how. Tinder CEO Renate Nyborg, rhymes with cyborg, is out. She's not being immediately replaced either. Instead, Match Group, because they all own each other, right, is moving three other executives over to shore up its 10-year-old lagging app. Anybody still use any of those? I mean, I don't know. And if you do, does it work for you? Most notably, Melissa Hobley is shifting from her role as OkCupid's Global Chief Marketing Officer after 5 years to become Tinder's CMO. Hobley's new mission is to enhance Tinder's brand perception. Apparently, they do need some brand perception enhancement because I guess it doesn't work for many people. Apparently, Match is working even less for many people.
A motorcyclist in Utah was killed when a Tesla driver using autopilot slammed into the rear of his bike.
Ouch.
It's the latest crash involving Tesla's advanced driver assist system to draw scrutiny from federal investigators at the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, or the NHTSA. The motorcyclist, who has not been identified, was traveling southbound near Salt Lake City and the Utah County lines when the Tesla approached from behind. The Utah Department of Public Safety said the Tesla driver collided with the back of the motorcycle, throwing the motorcyclist to the ground and killing him instantly. The Tesla driver, who remained at the scene, informed local officials that they did not see the motorcyclist.
Apparently the car didn't either, or it would have stopped automatically.
Yeah. Authorities say the driver was using autopilot at the time of the crash.
Of course.
As of the time we're recording this, there have been 48 crashes on the agency's special crash investigations list, 39 of which involve Tesla vehicles. 19 people have been killed in those Tesla crashes.
Come on, Elon, you got to do a better job with that. I get that you recognize another car, certainly a truck and a bus and so forth.
But it's something that's just not ready for prime time.
No. I mean, if it's not recognizing motorcycles that you got to share the road with, of course, tell that to some motorcyclists, but that's a problem. It's got to be taken care of.
But then again, you know, I mean, I remember when we were shooting the video for the Acura MDX, you know, we were trying to, you know, get its automatic braking to engage. And, you know, I remember we slammed into your garbage can so many times before we got the shot because it just it was never recognizing it.
Well, it did eventually.
Yeah.
But it didn't each time, and we had hoped it would have.
We sent that garbage can flying across the street so many times.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad it was a plastic can on wheels.
Yeah. So, and a loaned vehicle.
That's also true. So it wasn't the one that I eventually bought. It was a one that
they send out to media that I'm sure they expect to get beat up.
Yeah, exactly. That they had us testing for a week.
Yeah.
And yeah, we beat it up all right. That's when we drove to the Keys and drove all over Coral
Rock.
We got
it back and think, how did you put like 6,000 miles on this car?
Exactly. And mind you, my MDX that I've had for almost a year, I barely have 3,000 miles on it.
Didn't you just have your first oil change?
Yeah. And tire rotation.
Yeah, you need to drive more.
But with a tire rotation, shouldn't they rotate the tires? Isn't that the whole idea?
Yeah, you would think.
You would think. Well, Acura Pembroke Pines didn't. But thing, when you go to do a tire rotation, especially if it's at a dealer, that's a dumb move to begin with. Hopefully you go to your neighborhood mechanic. You should mark your tires. You know, take a little Sharpie or something and write, you know, RL or, well, no, RF for right front or right rear.
I saw that they rotated two of your tires.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess they said, we did, those two. But the car has four tires. Don't you rotate all of them? Eh, sometimes. But wait, it was a Wednesday. No, we don't rotate all four on Wednesdays.
Don't they rotate whenever you drive?
Yeah, there's a meme that I shared a few months ago that said, nice try, mechanic. My tires rotate every time I drive, and you want to charge me for it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But aren't they supposed to put, like, the right rear on the left front and the left rear on the right front or something?
I think, and I'm not a mechanic, I think the front ones go to the back, and then the back ones go catty-cornered in the front.
Really?
Yeah.
So that you get more even wear, hopefully, on the tires.
That's the idea.
Well, let's hope it works. A new report says that on June 29th, Earth completed a full spin, get this, 1.59 milliseconds faster than our typical 24-hour rotation.
I thought things felt faster that day.
Marking our shortest day to date and forcing time watchers to add leap seconds to the global clock. Now, it's not exactly clear why Earth spun faster on that one particular day, again, June 29th. Maybe, as the old saying goes, time flies as we're having fun. As the While You Were Working Smart brief said, quote, perhaps it could be the result of the Chandler wobble effect, which happens when there's a notable change in the spin of Earth relative to its axis in the solar system.
Maybe just a lot of people were outside at the same time facing the same direction and passed gas.
Oh, God. Leave it to you, Chris, to think of that as the possible reason why the Earth spun 1.5 milliseconds faster than normal.
It's possible.
It's probably likely, even. I don't know. Or maybe there were more cars on the road going the same direction at one point, and it sort of spun the Earth on its axis a little bit faster.
Or maybe Superman really exists. I've seen the movie.
Yeah, that's true. Come on. Superman can spin the Earth back and solve those issues. Yeah. So I could have been. Yeah. Maybe it was just a UFO going, watch this.
Yeah.
I don't know. But there you go. If you were around June 29th, and hopefully if you're listening, you were. Otherwise, you'd be awfully young and don't know what we're talking about. You experienced a faster day, maybe didn't even know it.
Probably not.
Okay.
American Airlines said that customers with PreCheck can go through security checkpoints at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport with a face scan and phone app instead of showing their driver's license or passport. The airline said that it intends to expand the test to airports in Miami, Phoenix, Washington, D.C., and elsewhere later this year.
Oh, later this year, but not later this month, because we leave out of Miami for Berlin. We're not going on American. But,
no, we're on Delta.
That's right. Yeah. Some of our team is on American. Yeah. That's what I thought. Oh, well, it doesn't help us any.
I know. But American is portraying this service as a convenience factor that will help passengers get through security checkpoints more quickly. Privacy experts have of course expressed concern about personal information that people volunteer for a convenience benefit and how that information is used and stored. My whole thing is, if somebody's volunteering for this service, then do they know the risks?
Yeah.
Don't worry about their concerns.
Exactly. If you don't want to do that, then don't volunteer for it.
Right.
Go to the regular line and wait an hour. Well, first of all,
it's instead of showing your driver's license passport that will scan your face.
Oh, even if you're going out of the country, still have to show your passport?
I don't know.
Speaking of which, don't let us forget our passports at the end of the month to go to Berlin. All of the month of September, by the way, do stay tuned. Whether it's on your favorite radio station or our podcast, we're going to be bringing you coverage of IFA 2022 from Berlin. There's lots of cool stuff already lining up, a whole bunch of neat interviews with folks that are introducing new products and new additions of products and neat stuff. James, again, didn't tell us where he's calling from, and we're probably going to find out why, or how he hears the show, which is what we ask of you when you use the Ask Dave button at intotomorrow.com. But hey, James.
Dave, I'm trying to access the internet in the church next door Wi-Fi without knowing the passcode or anything. How do I do that?
Ooh, well, James, you don't. I mean, that would be basically stealing from God.
Ooh.
The point of that password, of course, is to keep people out. So this is a little bit like asking, how do I use the living room of the house next door if I don't have the key? Back in the day, there were reasonably simple ways to crack Wi-Fi passwords, but these days, the encryption is a lot better, and that's no longer that easy.
Yeah, I mean, you may still find some password cracking software online, but don't expect it to necessarily work, and definitely don't expect it to be quick. It might take weeks if it finishes at all. Now, the most realistic way, really, to get access to the network is to speak to someone at the church and see if they'll give you the password. I mean, you might be surprised.
There you go. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Oh, what was your sin? I stole your Wi-Fi. I mean, from a church yet? Come on now. And I just checked the weather. We don't have lightning forecast in our area at the moment. But James, come on. But as Chris said, if nothing else, ask. Because maybe they'll help you out there a little bit. And if they have somebody who handles their stuff, then they can restrict your speed or your access or whatever. But maybe they'll give you a little internet, a little bucket of internet.
Or drive down the street to your neighborhood McDonald's. That's what I've had to do when my Comcast internet goes out at home.
Yeah.
I go sit in the parking lot in front of McDonald's and use their Wi-Fi to watch, you know, Hulu or something.
Or here's a thought. Get your own Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Intotomorrow.com. Let's go there, shall we?